Welcome again to the Townsville Feminist Stories podcast. My name is Chantal Oxenham and I am a member of the Townsville Feminist Collective. In this podcast, I will be talking about the Feminist Collective with another long-time member, Coralie MacLean. Coralie is a native Townsvillian who is pleased to call this northern city home. She has been part of the Townsville Feminist Collective since its beginning in the mid-90s, and she has been involved in developing and supporting a range of local feminist projects and initiatives over many years. She has an ongoing interest in recording and preserving women's history. So, Coralie, let's talk about the Townsville Feminist Collective. Tell us what it is and how it came about and how you came to be part of it.
Well, Chantal, as you know, we are a very active and committed group of feminist women who've been meeting together for many years now. And we had the aim of growing and expanding our understanding of feminism. The group was officially launched in 1987. But it actually had its beginnings a few years before that, when a group of us got together to set up a women's centre. I'll talk about that because it's a significant aspect of our history. And in fact, our strong connections with the women's centre continue to this day. So I grew up in Townsville, but I've been living away for a while and being part of the growing women's movement in some of the bigger cities. When I came back to Townsville in 1984, I didn't expect to find that much happening, but I was so wrong. I was just in time to be part of the planning for a women's conference here in Townsville called Women Building a New World. Very exciting. And you know, it was at that conference that it was proposed to set up a women's centre. So we formed a group to work on that. And we called ourselves the Women's Centre Collective. Working collectively, of course, was very much part of the feminist way, the feminist philosophy, and you know that. So that's what we wanted to do and the way we wanted to do it. So in the group, there were lots of different ideas about how a centre would work, but we did all agree that it should be a place that not only provided assistance to women in crisis, it offered a space for all women to get together, to network, for support, to learn, well, to plan a better world for women, really. Grand schemes, hey? Anyway, we did set up the centre and it did receive government funding. Then, once that key objective had been achieved, the Women's Centre Collective changed its name and its focus and we became the Townsville Feminist Collective.
So what was this new focus and how did it work?
Well, as I said, the women's movement was in full swing everywhere. And there was also lots of energy and enthusiasm here in Townsville. There was a lot going on. But Townsville then had probably less than half the population it has now. So there weren't that many feminists to go around. And we all tended to be involved in everything that was happening. So it was non-stop action. Well, that was great. But we decided that we also needed to set aside some time where we could focus on exploring our own feminism, our own understanding of feminism, and keep it updated and keep updated with the latest thinking. We wanted to be able to critique what was happening in the world from a women-centered perspective. And we wanted to do that together in a safe, supportive environment. So we set up these structured monthly meetings based around some shared readings on particular topics and then held follow-up discussion. And we still use the Women's Centre as our base. You know, this formula has proved to be very successful for us over the years. As you know, our numbers fluctuate from year to year, but an average membership is about 15 or so. Over time, we've had many women join us and others have moved on because, you know, Townsville was, well, really, it still is a very transient town. However, there's a couple of women, quite a few women, who've been part of the group for many years. Well, like yourself, Chantal, and there are still a couple of us, like myself, who were there right at the beginning. So it's a very stable and consistent group, and it turns out it works for us on a number of levels.
Tell us more about what you mean when you say the group works on a number of levels.
Ah, well, that's the interesting thing. While we started off focusing inwardly, you'd probably say, we soon found out that we were building all sorts of networks because we're having contact with other groups and other feminists across the country and even internationally, you know, and we were setting up some important links. We also found that in wanting to broaden our feminist knowledge, we were sometimes led back to action because the things we were exploring often demanded some sort of response from us. I'll give you an example. Let's go back to the beginning of the century. At that time, governments at all levels were starting to pay a lot of attention to the concept of globalization. And that meant big changes, the way our economic system works and our trade systems. So there was a lot invested in it, and it was supposed to be all to the good. But we'd been discussing in our group some really thought-provoking work by an Australian feminist author called Susan Hawthorne. And she wrote about the negative effects of globalization on women. On all women, but particularly women from the global south. Her book is called Wire Politics, and really it deals with these issues very well. So, knowing that two of our state government MPs based in Townsville were feminists, we set up a meeting with them to represent some of these alternative perspectives. You know, they were very receptive and they agreed there needed to be more balance brought to public discussion about this issue of globalisation. They may not have been able to change the course of government decisions, but they were certainly better equipped to bring alternate views to the table. And they could bring a more women-centred perspective, and that was our aim.
Yes, I do recall that meeting with the politicians, Coralie, and how we all found it worthwhile. It's a very practical example of how theory can lead to action. And other things?
Oh, so many other things. There have been lots, haven't there, Chantal? Sometimes the whole collective was involved in various projects, and sometimes it would be just one or two members who took on something, but even then the rest of the group were always around to help and provide support. And I think the thing we were always keen to do was to share feminist thinking, feminist ideas broadly with women in the community. We wanted to keep bringing the women's movement to Townsville. And I'm thinking now of all the talks and workshops and public lectures we held over time on all sorts of topics. I'm thinking of the high-profile guest speakers we were able to bring to Townsville because of those very networks and connections that I mentioned earlier. Oh, feminists like Dale Spender come to mind. Now, she was a prolific writer and thinker and quite well known. She wrote an iconic feminist book on language and speech. It's called Man-Made Language. And actually, you'll still find that many feminists today will tell you that this was the book that introduced them to feminism and, in fact, changed their lives. I'm not exaggerating. Dale says in her book that once your eyes have been opened, there's no going back. And I think that's true. Oh, okay. Now, other women, wonderful women who came all the way to Townsville to share their work with us. Let's think. Janice Raymond from the United States, she came and talked to us about trafficking in women long before it was generally being discussed. And Sheila Jeffries from the UK, she talked about the politics of women's bodies. Now, of course, we couldn't afford to bring these luminaries from overseas, but if we happened to hear through our grapevine that they were coming to Sydney or Melbourne, we'd angle to get them that little bit further up the coast to Townsville for no more recompense than the cost of the airfare and the promise of tropical delights. And members of the feminist collective were always quick to offer to billet our guests and to make their visits memorable.
Yes, there was always such a lot of interest in our visiting speakers.
Oh, there was. And you know, not all the speakers were well known themselves, but their issues were so important that women flocked to these events. I'm thinking here of the women from RAWA, you'll remember, Chantal, the Revolutionary Association of Women of Afghanistan. They travelled to Australia back in 2004 using assumed names in order to tell the world what was happening to women in their beloved country. Such courage. And you know, I wish we could say that today, more than 20 years on, things had improved for them.
Yes, it was so good to have them here. And of course, Feminist Collective members have also been able to attend events overseas, haven't they? Can you talk about some of these?
Oh, yes. Quite a few of us have managed to attend various international conferences over the years. One of the earliest was probably the Fourth World Conference on Women in Beijing in 1995. They just refer to that as the Fourth World Conference, Beijing, a very big conference convened by the United Nations. You know, a number of women from Townsville attended that one, including several from the Feminist Collective. I didn't attend, but I know others did and really were quite excited. Then there were a series of other conferences, you know, more for academics and activists, called Women's Worlds, and they rotated around different countries every 3 years. These were big events and very stimulating. We managed to attend quite a few of them in different cities across the world, and I was lucky enough to go to one or two of those. And, you know, another rather different international event I'm remembering now was held during the course of the year 2000. That marked the new millennium, and you remember what a big deal that was, the year 2000. The event was called the World March of Women. But it wasn't an actual march, it was a virtual march. So lots of different events were held at the local level all over the world. But it did culminate in a huge gathering in New York outside the United Nations building. A few of us were there, and we actually represented the Feminist Collective by pinning painted signs on our backs. Those signs had a little map of Australia in the corner, and we marked Townsville on that map. And the signs read, Townsville Feminist Collective demands peace and economic independence for all women. And then below, there were the signatures of our 16 Feminist Collective members. It really made a statement, and we got lots of good feedback.
Well, I was one of the Feminist Collective members helping to organise World March events back here in Townsville. I remember how excited we were to get your updates and that big event in New York.
Oh, yes. And, you know, that was inspiring because we went on to organise our own international conferences here in Townsville. That was something, wasn't it, Chantal? Four of us from the Feminist Collective took on the major tasks, but the whole collective helped out, and we ended up running a number of really successful events. You know, that largest conference that we ran in 2002, it attracted, I think, from memory, 420 participants, and they came from 22 different countries. Can you believe that? Yes, they all converged on Townsville. And that was, as I said, 2002, a time when Townsville wasn't really a high-profile tourist attraction, and actually getting here was not really an easy task. And thinking that that not only was hard in terms of travel, but that it was coming on the heels of the September 11th tragedy complicated things enormously. But we did it, and what a time that was. Feminists taking over Townsville. It was a wonderful occasion.
It was great, and it was also so much fun. But don't they say that feminists are a very serious lot and that we have no sense of humour?
Oh, well, I guess we didn't get that memo, Chantal. My memories looking back at Feminist Collective activities over the past, 40-odd years, really includes so much fun and laughter and celebration and, yes, lots of humour. In fact, the women's movement not only developed its own politics and theory, but it created its own feminist culture, you know, music, art, performance, whatever. Culture is a really good way of sharing the feminist message and of building a sense of community, of sisterhood. And we did lots of that in Townsville. You know, just remembering what we did, we staged theatre productions and we organised concerts where we had quite well-known visiting artists. We had the Australian performer Judy Small, and there was this Canadian singer, very well-known Canadian singer called Heather Bishop. We even had the famous Peggy Seeger. Now, she was a real music icon. You might remember she wrote that song, "I Was Going to Be an Engineer," and also that wonderful "Reclaim the Night" that we often still use at our rallies and our marches, especially the Reclaim the Night marches. Our concerts were so popular. And then I'm remembering we had something called Gertrude's Salon for Women. It was a sort of a pop-up coffee night that we ran every month for about 10 years.
Oh, tell us more about that.
Sure. Well, we ran Gertrude's at the Women's Centre, which at the time was in a high-set old Queenslander house in the suburbs. And we were able to run Gertrude's underneath the house once a month, as I said, on a Friday night, and it went for over a decade. It became a sort of feature of Townsville's feminist landscape, a place where women could come and just relax and connect with other women and engage with feminism at their own pace. Members of the feminist collective would be on a roster, they'd come in, set up the tables, lots of little tables and chairs, and they'd prepare the coffee and the cake. Now, there was always a guest speaker, a woman or a couple of women who would share something that they'd done or they were involved with or that they researched or something relevant to women's lives. It was always a great night, women talking and laughing and sharing and really so much creativity. Feminists don't know how to have fun, really. You know, sometimes women who were visiting from the bigger capitals would tell us how impressed they were at what we had created here. They'd tell us they had nothing like it at home. Townsville at the cutting edge again, Chantal.
And taking us to the present, Coralie, what has the feminist collective been focusing on recently?
Well, recently we've been very involved in recording the history of the last 50 years of feminism in Townsville. So how appropriate is that? We think it's just so important. We've done lots of research. We pulled together all our old files and papers, and we found our past leaflets and our flyers, all those things that we compiled and created years ago. And we shared lots of stories with each other. Then we pulled it all together into an ebook. We've called that Collective Memories, Feminism in Townsville, 1975 to 2025. And we're really so pleased with the way it's all come together. It includes more about the things we've been talking about today. And I think you should do a podcast about it, Chantal.
Thank you, Coralie. I might just do that. And for the people who are listening, the ebook will be available on the Townsville Library website. Thank you, Coralie. The Feminist Collective has been a quiet powerhouse in the background for a long time now, providing a strong bedrock, continuity, and a willing support base for feminist activities in Townsville. It is so good to hear its story.